Sokala Duma Radio. When it's game time, we all feel the pressure. That's why we trust Shield Antiperspirant to never let us down. It gives us the best 48-hour protection when the pressure is on. Shield gives us the confidence to always perform at our best. Shield, it won't let Chelsea down, it won't let you down.
Hello and welcome to it. I am Nkululeko Nkeu and this is the big interview brought to you by Shield. In this week's episode, we speak to Orlando Pirates brand activations and development teams manager Tokoloho Moeketsi about football development in the country and the 2018 Shield Sponisitiski campaign. First, to tell us more about the Shield Sponisitiski campaign, let's hear from Shield's senior brand manager Gareth Marshall.
Sokala Duma Radio.
I'm now joined on the line by Gareth Marshall, the Shield Senior Brand Manager, to tell us a little bit more about the Shield Sponisitiski campaign. It's the 2018 edition of the campaign. Gareth, thank you very much for joining us. How's it going, sir?
Yeah, good, and you? Thank you for including me in this.
I'm all good. Thank you very much, man, for joining us. Just as I was about to speak to you, I was speaking to a colleague and I was telling him about this campaign. And then we got stuck somewhere, and this is where you would help us. We're talking about, okay, how do you get to the trials? Do you just dial the USSD strings and do they give you a message? Does everyone who sends, who buys a Shield product and dial that number get access to it? Is there an age limit? And I was like, no, the best person to speak to is Gareth, who I'm about to speak to now. So can you please enlighten us a little bit briefly about the whole process of entering the competition?
Yeah, so obviously we're still, as Shield, very committed to soccer development in South Africa. So we're continuing the campaign into season two this year. So what you've got to do, it's quite easy to get involved. You've just got to purchase any Shield product from any of our retailers. And then all you've got to do is call the USSD line, which is *120*744353#. Enter in your details, and then we could be calling you. We're looking for 100 people in each of the five regions.
And that is Joburg, Cape Town, Bloemfontein, PE, and Durban.
Pretoria and Durban.
All right. And then tell me about the eligibility of the people that you're looking for. So would you call me back and ask me my age so as to determine whether or not I'm eligible for these trials? How does it go from there?
So, yeah, you've got to be over 18 to enter because there is an international leg, and obviously the legalities around that require you to be over 18 years of age. So there's two legs to the campaign this year, which is quite exciting. Not only do you get an opportunity to go and gain some international experience with Chelsea, you also get the opportunity to win a year-long professional contract with the Orlando Pirates MDC team.
And that is exciting, of course. All right, then let's get into it. A little bit a summary of what is the Shield Sponisitiski campaign. That is, the first step was about the application and the possibility of you getting picked for the trials. What is this about? You just mentioned Chelsea, you mentioned Orlando Pirates, and there's something that we've already mentioned about trials. Let's now try and enlighten further the customer or the listener about what is, in a nutshell, the Sponisitiski campaign.
So what we're looking at doing is furthering development for soccer in South Africa. We know it's one of the biggest pastimes, the favorite sports, if you want to call it, in South Africa. And there's so many aspiring football stars that really want the opportunity to get noticed, just to get ahead. So what we're offering them is, obviously with our partnership with Chelsea Football Club, is the opportunity to be coached by their international coaches. They run skills developments in a number of countries, and they're able to bring that to South Africa. And then you will get picked by them and the opportunity to go and get the full Chelsea experience, train at their training ground in Cobham, as well as just get that international experience and exposure to coaches. You'll be spoken about in social media and newspapers, so really a stepping stone to get you noticed in the football arena. And then something we've added this year, because we wanted to, once you've been overseas, have the opportunity to come back and actually prove you've got the talent and that stepping stone in your career is we partner with the Orlando Pirates. They share the same vision for development of football in South Africa, and they're looking for the next rising star, someone who can go and win this professional contract with the NBC team. We know from the likes of a number of players who played for the NBC team and now have gone on to play for their first team, which is really exciting. So you really do have all the opportunities open to you.
Mm. And Orlando Pirates, you've just mentioned now, is an addition for the second year of the current competition. Why them of all the teams in the country?
So, to be honest, we spoke to a number of different teams, and they just shared the same vision that we had, really just wanting to give South Africans this opportunity to get to the next level. They also were able to offer the players this professional contract. Mm. And just really, really wanted to work with us. They liked what we had done last year in the first year of the campaign. And really just they saw an opportunity as much as we did. So it was a mutual partnership that's for the best of the aspiring footballers out there.
Mm. And of course, the legitimacy of the competition is that last year there were three winners who had the full experience and went to Chelsea. So we're not talking about something that didn't happen. It has happened, and there is a track record to prove that there were three boys that went to Chelsea and experienced the overseas experience of a big club.
Yeah. And some of them, now that the guys have come back, the three of them have been for trials for different clubs, have now like put their career, people now know who they are. So we don't know what the future holds for them, but they've got that opportunity now. But now to actually seal it, when the winner comes back this year, one of the three will get this opportunity with the Orlando Pirates, which is an amazing opportunity. What they're putting together for this winner is really, truly amazing.
Well, Gareth, we thank you very much for your time, and we appreciate the opportunities that you provide to the youngsters, and hopefully one of them will become a Bafana Bafana superstar in the future. Who knows?
Who knows? Let's hope. That would be amazing. That would be my dream, and I think the dream of the brand, to see that happen.
All right, Gareth Mashal, the Senior Brand Manager of Shield, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Okay, thank you so much.
Be the Next Champion was launched in 2017 and was a major success, giving young South Africans a chance of a lifetime. In the second year of the campaign, Shield continues the journey to find South Africa's next soccer star. Purchase any Shield product to stand a chance to train at Chelsea and win a contract to play with the Orlando Pirates development team. Buy any Shield product, dial *120*744353# and follow the prompts to enter. Entries close the 30th of April. T's and C's apply. I'm now joined on the line by Tukuluko Moketse, Orlando Pirates brand activations and development teams manager. Thank you very much, TK, for joining us. How's it going this morning?
So far, so good, thank you. Enjoying ourselves here in Johannesburg. The weather's good. And hopefully it's the same that side. I understand you guys are still in a bit of a water crisis, but hopefully it's something that'll get sorted out and resolved soon.
Yeah, it's like we need to make an appointment with the rain before it rains. But nonetheless, man, one of the things that I was curious about before we get into the reason why we're having this conversation is you and the job that you do at Orlando Pirates. You are the brand activations and development teams manager. What does that entail? Essentially, how does your day in short entail? What do you need to do at Orlando Pirates, or what do you do at Orlando Pirates?
Well, at Pirates, you're not necessarily the title of of what you do. It's just it's more functional more than anything. So, as brand activation, you take care of all things brand related within the club, from the brand of Orlando Pirates as well as the brand of our various sponsors and partners. But also, on the same token, you're involved with what's happening on a sponsorship level. You're involved with what's happening operationally on the ground. You're involved, if you need to pick up cones and clean up branding. Everybody's got their hands in. It's an all round involvement, so that you can understand all facets of what makes this club so great. But from a team youth team manager perspective, obviously there's a lot of the administration that goes with the role, and even so, it's not a one man job. There's a few of us that are actually working hand in hand, using different aspects that need to be managed, and and the same processes that need to be maintained. You know, so I think it's a collective effort that everybody undertakes to make sure that, you know, the machinery and the operations of the club run as smoothly as possible.
All right, that sounds like an interesting job. But nonetheless, then the reason why we're having this interaction is because this is the second year of the Shield Sibona City SK campaign, and Orlando Pirates are included in this year's edition of the campaign. Let's talk a bit about the campaign and how did that move to include Orlando Pirates in the second year come about?
Well, I think it's very exciting for us as a club to be involved with the Shield Sibona City SK campaign. Simply because, you know, the basic premise of how the campaign started last year was around, you know, nationwide scouting and being able to develop some players over a period of time to give them an opportunity to then travel to the UK and, you know, train with Chelsea over a period of a week or so. And then, you know, when they come back, the question was then asked of, you know, what happens next with these players, because they've now, you know, they've had this opportunity and, you know, they've seen what the best in the world do. They've learned from them. They've experienced that. But, you know, there needs to be kind of a next step for them when they come back to, you know, to continue with that development process. So when we started the discussions then with Shield, you know, we agreed and looked at it that, you know, the very next step of that would be that, as part of the campaign, which will now unfold in year two, is that these guys, once they've been selected and scouted, when they come back to South Africa, they, you know, one of them will then get chosen to have a one year contract with the Orlando Pirates reserves. And in that, it obviously gives us an opportunity to, you know, to monitor this player a little bit closer. And it also gives a bit more, you know, strength to Shield's case of being part of football development in the country.
Of course, this makes perfect sense for Orlando Pirates, because initially, if you're gonna trial kids and they do well, you take them to Stamford Bridge, they experience Chelsea, and then what happens? So this is excellent for Orlando Pirates to come in and provide them with a bit of a professional football experience.
Absolutely. I think it's every young footballer's dream to, you know, to ultimately play as a professional. And even as a professional, you want to play for the, you know, for the biggest teams in your area, in your province, in your country. And even while you're at those big teams, there's still the next bigger dream of representing your national team. And then from the national team, it's on to national competitions, and it's your AFCONs, it's your World Cups. And then, you know, hopefully from there, once you're at a world stage, then, you know, maybe you can get picked by a world team, you know. So there's always a natural progression that footballers go through in their life cycle, as footballers. So I think for us to be able to give, you know, to be able to give these players that opportunity, you know, to be at an elite club like Orlando Pirates, to be in a reserve program that's very closely linked to the senior team, and, you know, there's a big involvement from the senior coaches and the junior coaches where they're working together to, you know, to try and unlock the best of our young players. And as you've seen, you know, over the last couple of years, we've had four guys move up from the reserve side to the senior team. The Lyle Fosters, the Pumelele Mbulu most recently was on the bench in the match yesterday against Bloemfontein Celtic. Yusuf Maat and Tonolo Mjali, you know, they've put in the hard yards to, you know, to be seen and to be recognized by, you know, by the senior coaching structures and ultimately get pulled in. So the strength of the program that we run here at Orlando Pirates in the reserve division is very, very strong. And, you know, having some sort of tangible proof for players out there to see that, hang on, there is life within this. You know, it obviously gives the campaign a bit more credibility to be able to attract players who are actually in it for a longer term, as opposed to guys that, you know, that are looking to just come in and hopefully make it and, you know, and participate in the trip overseas to Stamford Bridge. But, you know, one of the other key elements that has come in is that the Orlando Pirates coaches as well will be part of the scouting process. So all around the country, while the guys are having their their boot camps and their sessions, the Orlando Pirates coaches, the Shield coaches, the Chelsea coaches will all be together in trying to pick the best group of players to advance to the next stage. Ultimately, to a position where we'll be able to select five guys, or I think it's three guys or five guys that will go to the UK. And of that group that comes back, then one of those will be the guy that earns the contract with the club. Mm.
And of course, these kind of campaigns have come and gone over the past with various sponsors. I suppose Orlando Pirates would be looking at this to be a long-term thing. Do we know at this point how long this will go on for, this partnership or this relationship with this Bonus CTC campaign?
Look, for us as a club, development is very, very important. And with a partner like Shield, who's actually, they've actively entrenched themselves in grassroots development now in their second year. Even if it's not in the context of the Siboney CTSP campaign itself, but in some other way, because, campaigns evolve and things change and objectives change a little bit, but also within the developmental space. I think between us as brands, we're always going to be involved on that developmental level in some way, shape or form for a very, very long time. It's not something that just comes up today. You sit and you say, okay, well, it's 1 year, it's 2 years, it's 5 years. This is, development is ongoing, because, everything starts from somewhere, and, it continues to progress and progress and progress and progress as we go along our journeys.
Mm. And as a man who works with predominantly the development aspect of football, even though you have various roles that you perform within the London Pirates, as a man of your experience and what you see on a daily basis in terms of development, would you say that it's the player that you inherit from the amateur system, is it harder to develop that player when you then integrate them to Orlando Pirates? Is there a lack at amateur level that it becomes difficult then to make these guys professionals?
I wouldn't say that at all. I think it all depends on the player, and it depends on the coaches that he's had. It's pretty much the same with school. You can't necessarily say that a kid that's been educated under a tree is not going to perform, at varsity level as well as a kid who's, been educated in a big private school. It all comes down to the actual application of both students. But with that being said, there's obviously better opportunity at a private school than a guy who's being educated under a tree, because the access to resource, the access to information is different, and that sort of thing. So, you obviously find those players that lack in a certain area, but they're stronger in another, because they play more raw. It's a lot more kind of off the cuff, and a lot more talent and that sort of thing. Whereas in an academy type setup, That talent and that rawness is just harnessed and structured, to play in a certain system. So, what we do struggle with is the actual individual player, but that doesn't come down to, whether or not they come from an amateur setup or, a guy that you pick up off the street. It's really just, it comes down to their specific application of the principles that you're trying to instill. And obviously a large part of that comes from, the type of coaching that they've had. And there are a lot of very, very, very good coaches that are in the developmental structures and the amateur structures. And I mean, if you look at some of the top players in this country, they've been scouted by people that you hardly hear of, by people that are in remote and obscure villages and towns and from clubs that, you hear the name and you think, shucks, what, is this even possible? Does this name actually exist? And those are the guys that have that eye, because they see something in these boys, and, there's a certain hunger, there's a certain determination, there's a certain will, because they've recognized that, the talent that I have is, is what's going to get me to the next level. It's what's going to get my family out of the situation that they're in. And these guys recognize this, and they push it and push it and push it until, the guys get to, situations of being at clubs like Orlando Pirates, where, you know, all of that can be put together and channeled and harnessed, you know, to be able to be brought to the next level. So I think it's a collective approach, and I think we'd be a bit naive to, you know, to take that view that, you know, coming from an amateur club or structure, that you know, the guys don't have anything to offer.
Sure. And talking about development, still on the topic, the Future Champs tournament recently concluded, and the winners and the runners-ups were teams from Europe, from Belgium and from the Netherlands, and we had Bidvest coming up on third place. It was, when you analyze that, it was much more difficult for our South African clubs to get results against the European or foreign sides. Of course, then the fan of the football, whoever was watching, whoever was following the tournament, the impression was that it's there is a gulf in development difference between us and the European sides. Your impression overall of where we are, where is an 18-year-old South African in comparison with an 18-year-old European or South American?
Look, I think even with that, it all comes down to, you know, to the structure of the programs in South Africa and Europe and everywhere else, because you know, in countries overseas, you know, the guys are already starting to play at under 5, under 6, under 7 level. You know, they're starting to have the principles and the systems of the way the clubs that side play. Whereas our guys at 5 and 6, you know, football is very natural. You know, you pick up a ball and you're playing soccer in the street with your friends for, you know, for hours on end. And it's something that the European guys will tell you, that our guys are very, very talented. A lot of them have good, you know, good technical ability. And it's the same thing that you see when you're watching guys playing one ball, when you're watching, you know, guys just kicking a ball around. But where they sometimes come short is that, you know, they don't necessarily always play well in a team environment. You know, and a lot of that is also society-based, you know, because we grow up wanting to be the best. We grow up wanting to, you know, to be number one. And, you know, it's a very unique situation, whereas, you know, overseas, the guys are growing up as part of a team. And if you look at the Future Champs tournament now, that's just gone past, all of those players that played in those under-17 teams from overseas had been playing together for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Whereas our guys, that's not necessarily the case, because, you know, it's the start of the year. You know, the under-17s, those groups have either been promoted from the year before, or they've been put together from, you know, from players that are starting their year and eligible for that age group. So it's not, you know, it's a completely different dynamic. I think it is a lot harder for our guys, because also your responsibilities change. You know, when kids turn 16, 17 in South Africa in the townships, you already need to start thinking about work, because you're coming from, you know, from a home that's headed by a mom who's, you know, working 3, 4 jobs, or kids are living with grandparents, and, you know, it's not just them, it's the cousins as well. You know, kids in Europe, and I don't want to generalize, but, you know, the family unit is probably a lot stronger, so you can actually have that time to focus on football, on school and the like, whereas, you know, our socioeconomic problems are completely different. You know, at 17 years old, at 18 years old, you're working, you've got families here being headed by 16 year olds, you know, and they're looking after 4 or 5 kids and their grandparents, you know, so suddenly your priorities are changing, you know, and football, in as much as you may have had all of the talents in the world, you know, you're not going to play football when you've got, you know, when you've got kids at home and siblings to take care of, you know, so we do struggle with that, but that's also, you know, it's a much broader problem than just football and football development. It's a bigger societal issue, I think, and you know, and that's where we tend to come short a little bit.
And now, coaching education, one of the biggest controversies that it was a sideshow at some point this season when a team from Polokwane, Baroka, FC. Their coach then, and at that point, it blew up because they were top of the log in the Premier Soccer League. Coach Khuluko Thobejane was then revealed to not be a qualified coach. I cite that example because I want to go to a question of coaching education and the emphasis thereof. Does Orlando Pirates allow coaches based on their experiences to stand in front of the players, the young players, and coach them without necessarily qualifications? What is the process at Orlando Pirates? Is there an emphasis on coaching education?
Look, you know, coaching education is very, very important, and you know we're in a good position that the coaches that we've got are guys that have been with us for, you know, for a long time, and they are qualified. But you know, coaching is not just about, you know, having a certificate or some level of qualification, because you know you can be the most qualified person in the world, but if you're not able to, you know, to relate your message or relate what you know or be able to bring people along, you know, all of that qualification counts for nothing. So the important thing is to be able to have a balance between what you've learned and also be able to apply that in a practical, you know, in a practical situation, and also understand that the people you're dealing with, the kids that you're trying to teach these principles to, you know, at the end of the day, they're not as qualified as you. They don't understand it as you do, and they're expecting you to teach and not preach to them, you know. So it's a lot of, you know, the education is one thing, because it, you know, it proves that you're able to understand the theoretical side of things. But, you know, the human factor is probably, you know, as important, if not more, because you know, you're not dealing with robots. There's nothing binary about it. It's, you know, it's not black or white. There's a lot of gray area when you're dealing with people. It's the emotions. It's the you know, either emotional intelligence or, you know, your intellectual intelligence. You know, there's a lot of things that are at play which need to be considered. And the best coaches in the world are the ones that know how to, you know, how to manage those situations, that know how to manage the people, that know how to manage the processes, and be able to bring, you know, be able to bring everything together so that, you know, it all speaks to whatever the goal that you're trying to achieve as a club.
Mm. And before we part ways, and we thank you very much for your time, Mr. Mogetsi, one of the interviews that I had been listening to on radio was an interview with Stan Matthews, the CEO of SuperSport United, and he mentioned something very important about football development, and he said that it's no use to be posing with trophies that you have won across under 13, 15, 18 tournaments throughout the country, and sometimes throughout the world. You conquer the world with these juniors. The most important thing is to ensure that these players, they go on to become professional footballers, so they graduate to being top footballers for the club and also for the country. Now, my question to you, as a person that works for Orlando Pirates, is how important do you place an emphasis for trophy success to development coaches? We saw in the multi-choice Disky Challenge that the team was in sixth place. What are the implications of not winning things when you are a development coach? Before we let you go,
look, I think, you know, winning is important, because you know, winning breeds winning, and it breeds that confidence. You know, I think a lot of times the more you win, the more confident you become. But it also, especially at a developmental level, we need to be careful that you know, you're not just teaching players that the only thing that's out there is to win, because you know, in those times when you don't win and this is all you've taught them, you know, they don't learn anything else. What's more important is to understand the process that has got you to winning, and understand what that means, and also understand the process that has got you to losing, so that, you know, once you've had that feeling of winning and understand how you've got there, when you lose and understand how you've lost, you're able to then rectify and, you know, and build and fix that and actually learn from it. you know, as opposed to just drumming this whole thing of winning the whole time. Because like you've pointed out, yeah, and rightly so, and I'm glad you've actually mentioned that, because, you know, if you win everything as an under 9, as an under 10, as an under 11, and then, you know, nothing happens beyond that on a football level, then you haven't really developed. You know, it means very little that you were the prefect at your school in standard 1 and standard 2. It means very little that you were you were house captain. It means very little that you were the you know, the class president and head of the debate team. If, you know, by the time you get into an office environment, you get into industry, you're not able to still lead in a way that you were leading when you were young. And obviously the dynamic has changed, but you then wouldn't have developed you know, that characteristic of leadership. So if you know, you've got a player who was a star when he was young, and, you know, he's still continued to, you know, to play, but as he gets to certain levels where you're thinking he should be here, and he hasn't progressed to that level, then as a developer you haven't really been able to develop, and I think in that instance, you know, you've failed in that task of bringing that person up to you know, up to the next level. So it's very, very important. If we can look back, you know, as clubs, as a football fraternity, as a country, and be able to say, you know, here's player X, and, you know, at 8 years old he was here, then he was here, then he was here, and be able to track all through their life cycle, you know, up until they get to a point where, you know, when they retire, they've been in the game for a long time, they've done well in the game for themselves, for their families, for the community, for the game itself, then you can look back and actually, you know, and actually say that, well, we've actually developed something here, and that's key. And it's not just for the club, but for, you know, for the country as a whole. Because I don't think that, you know, we're in this and thinking about it microscopically. You know, there's a much bigger and broader picture at play, because, you know, we want to be able to compete at you know, at a world stage. We want to be able to you know, to have the global football world talking of players from South Africa, because then that you know, that kind of gives us that impetus to keep on going and to keep on working and be able to see the fruits of, you know, of the effort that everybody is collectively putting in.
All right, that is Dugulu Kumuketsi, the Orlando Pirates brand activations and development teams manager. Thank you very much for your time and your thoughts. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's big interview brought to you by Shield. My name is Goodluck Onkewu. Tune in next week for the next big interview.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.